Hey everyone, welcome back to Mercy Talk Podcast. We hope you're enjoying the topics that we're bringing to you on finding freedom from life-controlling issues and walking daily in that freedom. I am your host, Melanie Carter, and I am the Director of Outreach here at Mercy Ministries. And this year we have a lot of awesome things going on. We are just creating as many tools and trainings and resources and events that we possibly can to help bring the keys to freedom that we use in our Mercy homes and take those directly to people outside of our walls who are hurting, or to people who are trying to help other people who are hurting. So we are just really seeking to stretch beyond the walls of Mercy to reach more people with the transformational healing that comes through the power of Christ. So it makes perfect sense today that we have our guest who is here as part of that effort. And we are really excited to welcome Bob Hamp to the show today, who is an absolutely incredible teacher, author. He specializes in helping people find true freedom in Christ and has decades of counseling experience and just a wealth of knowledge. And so I know that I personally never cease to be blown away by Bob and his teachings and his insights. So we are really excited to have him here today. Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for letting me be here.
So Bob, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about just kind of what God has you doing full time right now, how you got started down this road to helping people find freedom.
Man, I wish I knew what he was having me do full time right now. I spend the majority of my time probably these days counseling, but just like the days that I used to do that, I'm looking down the road to really developing more spiritual leadership development, training leaders, continuing to train counselors and train other people who are in this kind of ministry of helping other people get free. Mm-hmm. So I've always been kind of eyeing, how do you multiply that? And I think we all know that the task is so big. We've got to spread the ability to do that and train people to do that. So I'm doing a lot of that these days.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, and we've definitely been the recipients of that. Bob travels to all of our U.S. homes and not only teaches our residents and our staff, but also spends some time now actually training our counselors. So we have actually been the recipient of those efforts, and we are certainly very grateful for that. And I think there's probably a million different things I could ask Bob to speak on today, because there's just so much. We've already been enjoying the last couple of days, a lot of teaching from him. But what I would love to ask Bob first and foremost, that when you are working with someone who is just kind of brand new to this freedom journey and just getting started, what would be the very first thing that you would really want them to know and to grasp before you start that journey?
It's always such a difficult question, Melanie, because, you know, you're introducing somebody to this massive idea, and you start at some point somewhere, you know, and so much of the time everybody's searching for some linear response. What's step one? What's step two? What's step three? And so even when you don't start with a couple different steps, people are still listening for that. Mm-hmm. So I happen to actually have three steps that I want people to know. So I'm so glad that you asked that question.
Super helpful.
So, you know, really, when someone's brand new to the journey, one of the things I want them to recognize is that overall in this process that they're in, I'm going to look for them to go through three steps in this process, especially, you know, so many other things can be done in this order, that order. You can start at B and go back to Z and come to Q and go to R. But I really want people at the very beginning, I'm going to describe all three steps, and then I'm going to talk about each one of them. The first thing I want people to do is I want them to realize they need to get free from bad definitions. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds like a funny place to start, but when I back up and talk about that, it's going to make sense why that's the most important starting point. The second thing is I want people to get free from themselves. A lot of times I don't think we realize that the thing that Jesus came to do was to set us free. And sometimes the number one thing we're in captivity to is the person we were born to be. So because of the fall of man, who we're born to be isn't necessarily who we're created to be. And so we have to be able to get free from that person, the person we were born to be, so that we can become the person we're created to be. And again, I'll say more about that in a few moments. And then the third step is where a lot of people start. In fact, a lot of people start with this idea. The third step is helping people get free from obstacles. You know, people need to get free from strongholds and wounds of the past and lies that they've believed about who they are and about who God is. Right. And people need to get free of, you know, maybe some circumstances they've been through or trauma that they've experienced. And all those obstacles are things that get in the way of the journey to freedom. But often what happens when we start there, we can actually help people remove those obstacles or receive some healing, but they get those things out of the way for all the wrong reasons. Hmm. And that's why it's so important that we start back at step number one, when I said people need to get free from bad definitions. And here's what I mean by that specifically. You know, all of us were made for this thing called freedom. It's hardwired into our nature. It's hardwired into our soul. And so we have, whether we call it that or not, and regardless of how we identify it, we all have this innate hunger to live a life that's free. Everybody you see is doing what they believe will make them free, whether it's the, you know, the self-harm behaviors, whether it's their search for corporate successes, whether it's their, you know, whatever they're doing, everyone is doing the thing that they believe will make them free. And so what that means is everybody has a definition of freedom. And whatever your definition of freedom is, then that's the thing that you'll pursue. Mm-hmm. So there's the typical things that I said a few minutes ago where people think maybe freedom is the lack of boundaries, or freedom is when I can do whatever I want, or freedom is when everybody gets out of my way and lets me just have the things I want. Obviously, those things aren't freedom. But I think there are some common definitions that we wrestle with or ought to wrestle with even in the Christian world. In other words, let's just take and Christianize a bit the thing that I said. So if we define freedom as when I can finally behave better, we're still going to miss the point.
Yeah.
In other words, if I've defined freedom, I've got this bad habit, this bad thought process, these harmful behaviors that I do, these emotions that are painful. And if I define freedom only in terms of getting rid of those things, I might begin the journey of getting free from those things. But then when I get free from them and haven't really understood what would be a more biblical definition of freedom, I might find myself in bondage to something completely different mm-hmm. because I didn't really know what the target was. So a bad definition of freedom that we need to get free from is this idea that freedom is getting things out of our lives. I've got this habit, this thought, these emotional bondages. I've got these lies that I believe. I've got demonic forces that may be harassing me in some way. And this idea that we could somehow get these things out of our lives and then we would be free, well, those things are important. That's not actually what freedom is. And before you take my word for that, let me just give you what I think the Bible's clearest definition is for us. It says this, "Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Mm-hmm. And so what that means is that freedom's not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. And so what we think a lot of times is that if we can get these things out of our lives, then we'll please the Lord, mm-hmm. or then we'll experience or encounter the Lord more. That's quite reversed. In fact, we actually need to encounter him. We need to be in his presence to get anything at all out of our lives. So the definition that so many people have, this idea that if I can get these harmful things out of my life, then I'll be free. What that does is it sets us up for a pursuit of what we're not going to have mm-hmm. instead of pursuing what we can have. Yeah, this is something that I call prisoner thinking. And it's just another way of saying we need to get free from bad definitions is we need to get free from prisoner thinking. Mm-hmm. So prisoner thinking says this, I need to get out of prison and then I'll be free. And for us, our prison might be a habit, an emotional state, compulsive thoughts, compulsive behaviors. And if we think that freedom is when we get out of those things, what happens then is we never understand that freedom is not about what we don't do. Freedom is about who we become. So I believe that freedom is when we become the person that we've been created and redeemed to be. Mm-hmm. And that person is a person with both identity and destiny and purpose and power. So it may be that we get all those things out of our lives, and as we get them out of our lives and don't know that we're created to step into destiny and identity, we end up just an empty shell who's no longer misbehaving, but nor are we fulfilled, satisfied, and stepping into the purpose for which we're created.
Yeah, that's good.
We're not fully free until we become who we are and do the things that were placed in us to do from the mm-hmm. beginning of time. You know, a simple way I say that is that, you know, you're not really free from your fear of dogs until you pet one.
Mm-hmm.
But much greater than that, we're not free at all until we recognize that we were designed to contain the breath of God and breathe it out onto the planet as we inhabit it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we might be able to get our behavior under control, but freedom's not about controlling behavior. It's about releasing the person who's inside of us that God created us to be.
Yeah.
Once we start having a more biblical definition of freedom, then our pursuit is no longer about trying to control misbehavior or to control harmful thoughts or harmful emotions. Instead, it's about trying to pursue a connection to the Lord, his voice, his presence, his power, his love for us. And when we make that connection to him, the next two things, the next two parts of the journey to freedom become possible. But we make that shift to where we recognize that our definition of freedom has to include what we are created for, not what we aren't supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So that brings us to step number two. Step number two that I described a minute ago is this. We need to get free from ourselves. Now, I just have this prejudice I've wrestled with over the years, and that's this. The church has an identity crisis, and because the church has an identity crisis, often we as individual members of the church have an identity crisis. And all I mean by that is this. We far too often define in our minds salvation as something that we do. I need to get saved. I'm going to give my whole heart to Jesus. I'm going to follow him with everything I have. I'm going to give him my whole life. And those ways that we define salvation and just the words that I just use, that people use often to describe salvation, are actually talking about activity that I do. Hmm. I choose to follow. I choose to give. I choose to do those things. But salvation is not an act of man in the path of God. Salvation is an act of God in the heart of a man. So we don't need to do something in order to be saved. We need to receive someone. You know, Jesus didn't just die for things you've done. He died for who you are. And so what happens is the person that you're born to be is a person who's born in the lineage of Adam. And because of that, we're born separate and separated from the spirit and breath of God. And that person who's born in that state and lives in that state develops a life and a thought process, an emotional life, a relational life, all based around and emanating from their disconnection from God. And that person is an obstacle to your freedom.
Hmm.
That makes sense?
Ooh, yeah.
Right? And so what happens is we have to get free from that person in order to become the person that we're created and redeemed to be. So we would call that the new birth. Jesus says, unless a man be born again, he can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. I would make sure that we understand Jesus isn't describing that someday you would get to go to heaven. He's saying, unless you're born from the heavens, you can't participate in the activities of heaven in the present day. And so salvation, this thing that we call the new birth, is not about us committing to principles, committing to an institution, or even committing to values, or even committing to Jesus. It's about us surrendering. It's the craziest thing in the world because spiritual warfare is the only war that you can win by surrendering. And so the thing about this is salvation is an act of God, but it's not going to happen as long as we're acting on our behalf. So there is an act, and actually probably more accurately, the cessation of an act that we must do in order to be saved, but that act is surrender. So Romans 10 says it this way, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Well, question that I think we need to entertain is, up until that moment, who's our Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Well, our Lord is whoever we take our marching orders from, whoever is the driving force, whoever's the impulse behind our thoughts, our emotions, our life. And if we are that person, and us being our Lord, us being the driving force of our life, is the thing we need to cease, then me just making one more decision to follow actually isn't lordship. It's just me trying a different route.
Mm.
So this identity crisis that we have is that we think we're supposed to do something for God, when in reality, the human soul was always designed to do things from God, not for God. So the act of salvation in the human soul to the new birth doesn't come to us because we decide to do something. It comes to us because we decide to surrender to what he's already done and wants to continue to do in us and through us.
Mm-hmm.
Until we get free from who we are, all the other bondages, all the other lies, all the other pain, all the other things that we struggle with in life, all of those things would simply be, if we do anything about those, it would simply be rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. If the boat's going down, it doesn't matter how pretty it looks.
Yeah.
So if we start to have, you know, get free from bad definitions and recognize that freedom is about becoming who we're created to be, the first step to becoming who we're created to be is this. You must be born again. Mm-hmm. And the new birth is not about your commitment. It's not about your decision to follow. It's not about giving your all. It's about surrender and receiving. The day that we surrender and receive, we're given everything. Peter says it this way. We're given everything we need for life and godliness. Now we begin the journey in the place where most people start. Most people start the freedom journey by trying to get rid of strongholds, take care of lies, take care of harassing demonic voices, when the reality is without the first two, we might be chasing the wrong thing and not even connected to the voice of God or the person of God himself. With our definitions given to us by biblical truth, by Christ living inside of us and his spirit moving in our minds, our hearts, and in the center of our soul, now he starts to untie, the way I like to say this, he starts to untie the knots of our soul. The strongholds that we deal with are simply our reactions to life that have been informed by an unspiritual mind. So I have a trauma, I have a circumstance, or I'm just raised in a family that doesn't give me the things I need to grow up as a spiritual being, as someone who's connected to God. And so my mind, my will, and my emotions get tied in knots as a response to the experiences of my life. With Christ on the inside, it's no longer my job to untie those knots, mm-hmm. but he becomes both the author and the finisher of my journey. Living on the inside of me, he begins to push at the places he wants to push at. He begins to point out the places where there's still darkness or still wounds or still pain. And now what happens is the freedom journey becomes a partnership where he continues to move and push through us, and we continue to surrender to him. I like what John Sanford said. He said, we're all evangelists. We're evangelists to our own heart, and we're searching to try to share the gospel with the parts of our hearts that have yet to surrender to Jesus. And so the freedom journey for us, now that we're born again and we have Christ on the inside, is just letting him evangelize the parts of our hearts that have yet to surrender to him.
Well, Bob, I think that is so on point and so difficult for us to do because of the fact that that surrender piece means that we release control of even our own journey. And there's so much about that that requires a trust in him that he's going to do what he says he's going to do in our hearts.
Exactly.
And it's, I just know from even my own personal walk with God, like I want to control it because I somehow think I can do this and I can manufacture it and I can make this thing happen where I know that over and over and over, God keeps showing me, you can't even fix your own heart. You know, like you actually don't have the ability to do that. I'm the only one who can. So that surrendering piece requires such a trust that he will actually do what he says he's going to do. So that's an awesome piece of insight, but it's so hard to do sometimes. So I know that we're going to kind of unpack a little bit more of that third piece in our next show. So we're really, really excited that you have agreed to come back and do another show with us for next week. And, you know, I just feel like there's a lot that that can be unpacked with all of that. And so we're just really, really thankful for you coming back next week. And I know that for those of you, you know, who are kind of new to all of this, this may be, I know the first time I've ever heard Bob speak and teach, it just was like, there's so much to unpack and so much to process. And so we're going to give you that week to just think through this, process this, pray through this, and then come back to some of that last piece again next week. So I want to thank you, Bob, for being here. I know that this is just an honor for us to be able to actually have you in here to share with so many of our listeners. And
thank you.
We just want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. And I want to just ask all of you to make sure that you are sharing these podcasts with other people. We are hearing back from a lot of you helpful these have been and how insightful as you are working through your own journey, but you're also working with other people. And so we just want to encourage you to share these podcasts with other people and just help us spread the word that freedom is possible and is available to everyone. And before we sign off today, I just want to remind everyone that registration is officially open for our 2-day Freedom Experience event that is happening here in Nashville on October 2nd and 3rd. So if you register right now, it is only $60. That is our early bird rate. So please make sure that you take advantage of that. And all you need to do is go to mercymultiplied.com and you can find all of the information there and purchase tickets on that site. So don't forget to listen in again next week for more incredible insight from our guest, Bob Hamp. And I am your host, Melanie Carter. We will see you next week.